Well, glory to God. We'll start off all right, huh? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Temporary. Don't focus on the temporary. Don't focus on things that come and go. You know, there's so many things, even your feelings, right? You focus on your feelings. Feelings are fleeting. Praise the Lord. One day you'll feel good. One day you'll feel bad. It doesn't matter. The feelings don't matter. So let's just not focus on that. We focus on God. That's always what rises us above. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I always say it. Always think about it. And I love it. So I'll say it again. Praise the Lord. But when Peter was stepping out of the boat, walking on water, as long as he was focused on God, he walked on the water and stayed above the waves, stayed above the trial. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he was seeing something that he'd seen the miracle, right? But as soon as he took his eyes off it and put it onto the trial, onto the lesser, the temporary thing, we know that you look out on the lake today. How many know you look out there, you don't see any major waves? No. There's people out there ice fishing, praise the Lord. I don't know if it's safe or not yet, but they're out there, glory to God. In fact, the other day, I was pretty sure it wasn't safe, and I was coming down the hill, and I'm like, what the heck is that? That's somebody out there. Somebody was out there ice fishing. That's what they do, praise the Lord. But you know you ain't going to do that in summertime when there's waves. Right now, the water's still. It's temporary. The waves are temporary. If you got a storm in your life, if something's raging in your life, even if it looks like the worst storm you ever, you know, you go out into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and there's times you'd be out there, it'd be like glass. There's times you go out there, and they have 100-foot waves. Not kidding, 100-foot waves. You know, they have rogue waves and stuff. I think the largest one ever measured was like somewhere around 98 feet or something like that. It was off an oil rig out there in the Atlantic Ocean. 98 feet, a wave. Now, if you can imagine, this room is about 12 feet tall. So that's only, you know, a lot more bigger. Praise the Lord. Than that, hallelujah. So you can imagine if I was in the water and there was a wave as tall as this room coming, it'd freak me out. Glory to God. Much less, much bigger. Amen. Hallelujah. So we just know that it's temporary. It's temporary because sometimes the waves will be there and sometimes they'll be flat as glass. It doesn't matter because we're not moved by that. We're only moved by the one who has the power to move mountains. Praise the Lord. And that is the Lord himself. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I hope you're excited for the word today. I certainly am. Praise the Lord. Just to let you know, the birth of this message came to me as I came out of Tuesday service. Praise the Lord, which we had an awesome service in here Tuesday. Glory to God. And man, I'll just tell you, I can't go into all the details right now, just this minute, but I prophesied something over somebody in that service, and she contacted me 2-3 days later, and it was just a list of all of it coming to pass, just in a few days. It was just amazing. Well, praise God, hallelujah. I'll share it with you later, maybe, I don't know, praise God. Well, oh, by the way, we are on live stream now. Are we on live? Praise God. We are out there getting out to the entire world. Right here from Mabel, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord led me to do that, and actually it was through an event. Somebody had asked us to live stream, and we were able to. It was really hard to do it before because we just had it set up through my wife's phone here on the table. And a person who couldn't be in church that day asked me to live stream, and then so we did, and I saw that there were some other people tuned in, some other people that were that don't go to the church, amen. And the Lord spoke to me about that in that moment and showed me that it would be a good thing, amen, that we start doing that. I was always opposed to doing it just from the standpoint of the natural. I don't want my face on anything, amen. And I certainly don't want a chance to be able to hear my own voice again. So if I can keep that at a minimum, then I do. But praise the Lord, God led us to do that. So just so you know, it is not a reason to stay home. Praise the Lord. If you can be in church, be in church. But if you can't be, get on live stream. What it really is it's a tool to reach more people, amen. Glory to God. We can show people who we are. They can get, you know, some people might be shy and they learn about us ahead of time that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's commercials over. So we say hi to everybody who's out there. If there's anybody out there, I don't know. Praise the Lord. But we love you. You love you. God has a plan for you too. Glory to God. Amen. Today's message is called Move It. Praise the Lord. Move It. When I got home from church on Tuesday night, which it was awesome, I was actually going into my bedroom to de-robe, you know, and just get ready for the night, amen. I meant from my suits and stuff like that, glory to God. You guys always go in the wrong, no, you guys always take it the wrong direction. praise the Lord. But I heard in my spirit as I was going there, I was still kind of, you know, high on the message and the service, praise the Lord. But this came to my spirit: the movement of faith in any area of life activates the increase of that area. Let me say that again. The movement of faith in any area of life activates the increase of that area. Praise the Lord. And so there's a principle here, and we understand this by the word of God, that when we move in faith, we act in faith, that's what activates the area of that life that we're seeking. As I was thinking about this further, meditating on this further, this is what came to me. Whether the spirit, whether the hearing of the word, whether a personal prophecy, faith is activated by movement. Even in the Old Testament, praise the Lord, when prophecy was given, you know, there was prophecy given through Moses, and God said, I'm going to lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to lead them into the promised land. The prophecy was given, but what do we know? There still had to be movement. The people had to act in line with the thing which was spoken. That was their faith. Their faith was, I believe what was said, and therefore I'm going to move towards that thing. And as they move towards that thing, the doors open for them to walk through. Now, we understand this. This is a very simple principle in the Word of God, but it's something that a lot of people miss, and we don't want to be people that miss it because we want to be as effective as we possibly can. But you can sit and hear the Word. You can come into church and hear the Word, and it's wonderful that people do that. But just hearing the Word will not affect change. Just hearing the Word, just because, you know, pastor, I can get up and I can preach a real exciting message and maybe have everybody jumping and shouting and running around, that in of itself is not going to produce change. Everyone say with me, just listening will not produce change in my life. I must do what the Word says to do. Praise the Lord. That is a very important fact. And it doesn't matter in context with what we're talking about here is any area of life. So whatever you're believing for, if you're not moving towards that thing, if you're not moving in that direction of what the Bible has given us direction or what spiritual direction has been given to us, what the Lord has given you for direction, if you're not moving towards those things, you will not obtain them. Now, praise the Lord. Now, this does not mean that we can just desire anything we want in life and then release faith and go out and expect to have it, because that's not the way it works. We have to know, we have to be sure when we desire something. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5, right, 14? I think so. Let me just flip over there real quick. 1 John 5, 14. Yeah, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And in verse 15, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. And a lot of people love the scripture. When Christians hear the scripture and you preach the scripture, people get excited. That's an awesome thing, that we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we get what we ask for. But so often people miss a very important part of the scripture, and that is according to his will. If we ask anything according to his will. And so that's why if we don't know what his will is, then we're going to have a hard time asking, because we can't ask in faith. And so we have to know what God's will is. God's will is never against his word. For example, God is not going to give you something that is out of order. He is not going to give you, bless you with something that you want that the word specifically says, talks against. Amen. And so we understand that principle with the Lord. And so it is up to us to find out what his will is. And it's not hard to learn what God's will is. Amen. You know, people will quite often, they'll go out and they'll live lives that are opposite what the word tells them to do. And then they expect they want change. Well, listen, no amount of prayer is going to change. Why? Because it didn't for anybody else in scripture. Why would we think it would for us? In fact, Jesus told us, God told us, the apostles told us that exactly opposite would happen if we don't listen to what the word says, no matter who we are or what we do or what we think. If we don't put the word to practice or we go against the word, we are not going to affect good change in our lives. In fact, we will see hardships that were not planned by God, that were not planned by the devil. We know no hardships are planned by God, but hardships that were planned by the devil, we're going to see hardships in our life because we're not moving in line with the word. We must be doers of the word. Amen. The movement of faith in any area of life activates the increase of that area. So if I called you up and by the Spirit of God, I laid hands on you and prophesied your future and gave you exactly, I mean, if Jesus came down, here, let's make it better. Jesus came down and appeared right here before us. I fell out in the Spirit and he came up to each one of you and he spoke to you and he said, this is exactly what I have for you, blah, 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 and lays it right out, right? If you don't activate faith in your life, you'll never see it come to pass. Never see it come to pass. You have to activate the faith. What is the act? Of course, we talk about the activation of faith in many different ways. Praise the Lord. It's how we respond. It's how we receive. You know, if Jesus stood before you and said, "Well, I just don't know if that can happen," you will never see it. Why? Because you are deactivating it by your lack of faith. And so your lack of faith will shut something down. And so, but this is not to get us in bondage and think, well, if something bad happens, well, I just didn't have enough faith or I didn't use my faith. No, that's taking things in the other ditch. Amen. It's not about whether or not the Bible tells us that we have been given a measure of faith. It tells us that we can build faith. So as long as we're doing what we need to do, the best that we can, God will always see us through to the other side. But if you refuse, the Bible says, if you refuse and rebel, it's not going to go so well for you. You're not going to see the right things. So that's why it's very important that we endeavor in our lives to do what we're supposed to do. But that doesn't mean we have to get in bondage and try to be perfect either. Amen? Praise God. Turn with me to James 2:18. Praise God. Hallelujah. Was anyone else excited to see it snowing out there this morning? I just got a little bit giddy. I was happy and glory to God. Hallelujah. I really did. I looked outside and I was like, oh, it's so pretty. I just want to go frolic. Not really. I don't do much frolicking anymore. Amen. Unless you call jeeping frolicking. Sometimes I go jeeping in the snow and that's kind of like adult frolicking, I guess. Amen. James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Amen. How are faith shown? By works. You can sit there and say you have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have works to back it up, I question whether or not you have faith. Amen. In fact, I'll tell you right now, if you understand anything about faith, if you do nothing, praise the Lord, to move towards your situation being better through faith, through the things that the Bible has given us, if you do nothing, you have no faith at all. Faith is not just, we can't just claim that we have faith and then therefore we have it. You know, we live in a society now that is trying to redefine everything. You know what I mean? And I'm just not going to accept that. I mean, they can do it out there all they want. That's their business. It's priority. If you want to redefine everything in your life, that's fine. You'll have what that gets you. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to be subject to that. Yeah. I'm not even being, you know, the people, if we don't agree with somebody, they'll call us, they'll redefine us as something horrible or something nasty. I won't even accept that. They don't get the right to redefine me just because I don't agree with them. Amen? And nobody does. Praise the Lord. I don't know how we got it. Oh, we live in a society that wants to redefine everything. We can't just make up our own rules to the game. It doesn't work that way. If we want the blessing of the Lord, if we want to walk in all that God has for us, we have to determine that that is what we're going to do. And we have to move ourselves in faith towards those things. Faith is what you believe, amen? If you sit there and you hear the word preaching and say, and this is why it's so dangerous when Christians are so often arguing over the word and arguing over what the word says. Listen, the word is not that hard. There are a few things. There's a lot of things in here that we could sit down and have a good theological discussion over coffee and walk away and still be friends. Amen? There's quite a few things in here we could do that. But those things aren't going to change our life in the sense that whether or not you believe in the young earth theory or the old earth theory, what do I mean by that? If you believe the earth is 6,000 years old, or if you believe the earth is billions of years old, it is not going to change your salvation, and it probably isn't going to affect the way that you walk out your life. These are things that are written in Scripture. God's given us some knowledge in these things. But I've been learning this. I don't know if you've learned this, but I've been learning this recently, and I think that it's a real interesting thing, is that if God wants us to know something for sure, He wrote it as a matter of a fact. And things that He just wants us to ponder about and maybe just to keep our interest until we're in heaven, those things, He didn't give us the full picture of it. Amen? We're given, for example, there's a lot of things about spiritual things that we're given. But what we need spiritually, the Bible tells us. Yeah. We ain't got to go make something up. We ain't got to try to conjure up something outside of Scripture. What we need is written. And what else you need personally, God will show you. Amen. But you ain't got to try to make up this, you know, and then people do this. They kind of get into their things and they make up their own ways of doing their religion or whatever. And that's not what God's intended. God's intended us to follow Scripture. You know, we preach kind of a narrow, I would say, when you look at the complexity of Scripture, we preach kind of a narrow path somewhat. When you look at the whole of Scripture, we don't preach about every subject. You know that, right? I don't claim to sit up here and preach about every single subject. And I'm open to using any scripture in the Bible, but I don't cover every subject. Why don't I do that? Because not all of it is going to help you in your day-to-day life live. My purpose for being here is just what the Bible tells me. And your purpose for being here should be just what the Bible tells you. The Bible tells us that the purpose of a pastor, the office of a pastor, is to equip people to go out for the work of the ministry. If you can't leave here and go out there and do something good for the kingdom of God, I've failed. Unless you've just ignored me, amen? And then, in which case, you failed, not me, praise the Lord. But as a pastor, my job is to equip people to go out there. Listen, and you don't have to know everything to go out there. Have you learned that yet? Man, hallelujah. When I first got saved, the first desire of my heart was to get everybody in the earth saved. I mean, I went nuts. I went overboard. I carried a Bible. Wasn't even a good translation, actually. But I carried the Bible around with me, and I was thumping people. Man, I was after it. I was out there. I was in people's faces. And then I learned, well, you probably better back off because you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, right? Isn't that the saying? Praise the Lord. But the truth is, or ants, or whatever it is, I don't know. You get more of something, anything that's worth anything, you get more of it. Yeah, they like sweet. But praise the Lord, you can't do that. But that was a desire of my heart, is to help people see what I would see. And I would tell you, I was effective at reaching some people. And the reason I was effective was not because I knew anything, because I knew nothing. I mean, I literally knew nothing except for, you know, even Paul said, he's like, I pretend to know nothing except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? That's all that I knew. I had to hey, God will save you from eternal damnation. That was enough for me to start my ministry. You know what's enough for you to start your ministry? Just knowing that God is good. Just knowing that God wants to help. If you just like take one thing that you learn in church and you take it out there and you make it your mission to start with, you'll get the people. You'll reach people. Praise the Lord. You'll say, well, I might not know everything, but you could come to church and find out. Hallelujah. Not to say that I know everything, because I'm not even remotely claiming that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you understand that you don't need a lot to be able to go out and start. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't grow. And I'm just going to tell you, the more that we learn, of course, the more exciting it is, the more awesome this life is. The more I learn as a pastor, I'm just telling you right now, the more I learn as a pastor, the more I learn that what I believe is true. The more I believe more today and stronger today than I ever have. And I look at the things that God shows me today and I think, my God, if everybody had this, there ain't nobody that would doubt. But see, the key is that I've been open to receiving it. And that's the first step in faith, is not rejecting the word that's preached, but hanging on to it and trying to find a way out of it. Have you ever noticed Christians have done that? I don't know if you've ever had that happen, where Christians will do something and then they'll go to the word and they'll try to justify what they do by trying to find scripture. Well, if we look at this translation, then we can do this. Or if we look at that translation, then we can do this. Or well, maybe they mean this or maybe they mean that. No, the Bible means what it means. You're not going to just be able to twist it just because you want to go sin, right? If it's wrong, listen, you know it's wrong. There's certain things you don't have to even be told it's wrong because God has put it in your heart. Now, there are things that people will get callous to because they once knew they were wrong, but they insisted on doing it anyways. And then all of a sudden, they got callous to the leading of the Spirit, which said, don't do that. And so now they don't hear. You know what callous is, right? Praise the Lord. If I go out there and I use a hammer every single day, my hand's going to get callous. To the point where, like when I did use a hammer every single day, my hand was pretty callous. And, you know, you could take pins and poke it and you don't feel it. But you take somebody like a young child or a baby who's got soft, sensitive hands, and if you poked them with a pin, they would yelp because they're very sensitive. Amen. Well, that's the same way it is with us. When we live a life of sin, or when we live a life that is contrary to the Word of God, what happens is it calluses our heart to the point where we don't feel that prick anymore. So if you've been doing something wrong and you knew that you felt a prick and then all of a sudden you're doing it and you don't feel that prick anymore, that's not God saying, I give up, just go ahead and do what you want to do. That's not what it is. That's saying that you're unable to feel the prick of the Spirit anymore. That's not a good place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. And that's how Christians, they start justifying sin. Listen, the Bible is sin. The Bible tells us what sin is. Let's go over there to Galatians real quick. My wife read some of this stuff. Praise the Lord. Wasn't planning on going here, but we are going here because this is the direction that the Spirit has for us. Galatians 5. Praise God. We got to know this stuff, though. Praise the Lord. Let's start in verse 16, Galatians 5, 16. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh because the Spirit will let you know that something is wrong. You don't even have to be told that something. Listen, do you know how many things that I find out are wrong and I don't even have to be told it? Because my Spirit will lead me in that direction. The Holy Spirit within me will lead me and he'll say, nope, that's not right. I'll know something's not. Maybe it's something everybody else, there's no reason on earth to think that it's wrong. And the Holy Spirit will show me. He'll show me that it's not right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've had lots of those just this week where I thought I was justified in what I was thinking or what I was doing. I thought there was nothing wrong with it at all. And I was even ignoring the small inward witness on it to a degree. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit got strong and showed me. He said, no, this isn't wrong. Right, and this is why. But you know why? Because I'm a person who stays in the Word. See, if I stay in the Word, the Holy Spirit can still speak to me. But if you don't stay in the Word, the Holy Spirit won't be able to speak to you. The Bible says he leads us in line with the Word. So if you reject the Word, if you say, well, I'm going to put that over here because that doesn't match up with my life. This isn't what I do, so I'm going to just look away. Yeah. Christians that look away, praise the Lord, are Christians that don't prosper. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, these are the works of sin. Okay? So if what you're doing is found in here, then you are living in sin. It's just that simple. If what you're doing is found in here, you're living in sin and you're foregoing or you're pushing off the blessing of God in your life. Now, if you have entered into one of these things and you've been like, oh, I did that and I messed up and you repent means change, you're going to be freed. So you don't have to live in bondage. But if you perpetually live in this way, if you practice these things will keep you from the blessing of the Lord. And as long as you listen, and anyone sitting here today, I'm sorry to say, we bamboozled you into here. But if you're sitting here today and you hear what I'm about to say, don't plug your ears. But if you hear what I'm about to say, you are now accountable for what you've heard. And so you can't get away with saying, well, I didn't know that wasn't right. I didn't know that wasn't sin. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you something else. If you're sitting here now hearing me say that, you plug your ears, you are still accountable for the sin because that's willful ignorance. Praise the Lord. So you are trapped. Does anyone know that church is, the reason we have church, the reason I come, the reason I preach is because I want to help people. Praise the Lord. I want to help people get out of their snarf and get into the good. Amen. Praise the Lord, because the snarf is no good, but the good is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So church isn't just about putting rules and trying to drag you down and corrupt you. No, it's trying to set you free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're evident. You don't need a lot of explanation. The works of the flesh are evident. You know what the works of the flesh are? You are well acquainted with your flesh. You know it. I said you're well acquainted with your flesh. You know what your flesh wants. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have never eaten a half a pack of cookies and thought that I was justified in doing so. The whole time I knew I was wrong. But the whole time I was sitting there going, oh, yes. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. The Thin Mints. Yes. Oh, man, what is wrong with people? Girl Scout, I'm telling you right now, if you're in Girl Scouts, get them out. That's just the devil. That organization is led by the devil. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. But the cookie part of it is Thin Mints and then those other caramely ones with the chocolate and the coconut. Yeah, ooh, ouch. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't bring me any because I find enough on my own. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We go into that, but I'm not going to.
So the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. That is when a married person has relations with a person who is of not in their marriage. Yeah, that's a good way of saying that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Fornication. That is a person who is not married having the relations of a married person. If you are not married, you have no right, no reason, or no right spiritually, scripturally, to be being with someone else. You are living in sin. That's what it is. And it will cause what sin causes, and that's death. Sin causes death. That's the purpose of sin. God didn't create sin, but that's what it does. The devil has magnified sin because we know that the wages of sin is death. And so fornication, adultery, these things, listen, adultery is also found. It's Jesus said, if you lusted after a woman in your heart, you have committed adultery. So if you are a married person and you are looking at videos, if you're watching looking at magazines, if you're doing things like that, you are committing adultery. Jesus said it's the same because it's in the heart. These are heart issues. Amen. Praise the Lord. The same thing is if you're walking down the street and you're walking down the beach and it's a hot summer day and there's all these women out in bikinis and guys, you're going, guess what you're doing? You are committing, if you're not married, you're fornicating. And if you are married, you're committing adultery. It's the same thing. Well, praise the Lord, it helps us. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, and I'm going to tell you something. The reason that we say these things is because it doesn't just affect you. See, the thing is, what you're believing God for, or who you're trying to help, or who you're trying to reach, will all be hindered because you live in this lifestyle. This is lifestyle stuff, amen? This is not, you know, people will mess up, but that doesn't give you a free pass to go mess up. But the point is that this is what happens, amen? It's just the truth. We're just trying to help. Of course, uncleanness, lewdness, you know, of course, you see lots of that in the world today. This is why, I mean, honestly, a lot of stuff that is out there, we don't have TV. I mean, we have like Netflix or something like that we watch once in a while, but we don't have like a full-blown TV where we're just watching, where there's just the advertisements and stuff like that. But I've heard of some of the things that are out there. I am not saying that it's wrong to have TV or that it's wrong to watch it, but you have to understand that there are times we'll be watching a movie and all of a sudden a scene will come on and usually they're always after men in the scene, you know what I mean? Because women usually don't care about a woman getting undressed or something. Have you ever noticed that? That most scenes in movies that are sexualized are about women taking off their clothes and something. And in my household, we have this thing. Me and my boys, we've gotten quick at the head turn. And my wife and my daughter have gotten quick at the, don't watch, don't watch, don't watch. You know what I mean? And we're not out watching bad stuff, but you know that even in PG movies, they do this stuff. You know, they'll have things that are inappropriate. One day we were walking through the mall. And I was with my daughter. I think my wife was there too. And I think we were coming up on a Victoria's Secret store or something like that. And my daughter happened to look up and see the model in the window. And she said, "Don't look, Daddy, don't look." I thank God that I have people that watch out for me. Why? Because I wasn't looking for the Victoria's Secret store. But the fact that she saw it first and warned me about it is precious, amen? Because, you know, even that, guys, if you're walking by the Victoria's Secret store in the mall with your wife and she's talking to you, but you're, you know, watching the models, that's fornication. That's adultery. That's what that is, amen? And that's lewdness. That's what the people that put that out there. Women, we have to think about, man, how do we get on all this stuff? I don't know where this guy, man, praise the Lord for a good message, though. Hallelujah. Women. How you dress matters, because if you wear something that draws the eyes of a man in, now listen, there is a balance to this, that you can't just say, well, a guy can't just say, well, that just made me snow. Everything they wore made me snow. Guys, you have to control your eyes too. But women, if you're purposely wearing clothes that show cleavage, that show too much leg, if you're wearing all these really sexy things, what do you think that's all doing? That's lewdness. That's what the Bible calls lewdness. And that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to be doing that, because you are a partner with somebody else in their sin. Somebody who can't control themselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You guys do know that I didn't plan on preaching any of this today, but praise God. But praise the Lord. Going on. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Idolatry is really just the worship of anything above God. Idolatry, you get, there's people that worship a spouse. There's people that worship their kids. There's people that worship, they idolize American Idol. We idolize, somebody on that's famous, you know, and that listen, just because somebody's famous doesn't mean you get to have the hots for them. Just because you'll never get to lay in bed with them doesn't mean that you can have the hots for them. Like that's why I don't sit around having famous people crushes, because I'm a married man. Praise the Lord. I am not saying that I've never seen anybody that I haven't naturally or physically been attracted to. But what do? I do my best to pluck myself out of that. Yeah, because that's not a right that you have. Amen? But see, some people think it's okay because they'll never, I'm never going to sleep with Brad Pitt, so why can't I just, have a crush and have, me and my girlfriends go out and we'll talk about how hot he is or what. I don't know who, that was the guy back in the day. I don't know if people even call him hot anymore. I don't know. But do they? I don't know. Huh? He's still hot? Scott says he's still hot. Praise the Lord. This is why I love you, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is truth to it. I mean, let's be honest. I can look at Brad Pitt and say he's hot. That doesn't mean I want him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just, you know if somebody's good looking. You know if somebody's good looking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a notable quote. That's a good one. Yeah, we have some good notable quotes, Praise the Lord. Idolatry, idolizing anything, putting anything above God, that's idolatry. Idolatry is not just making graven images or forming idols of saints or whatever. Idolatry is literally anything that you put above God. Amen. Glory to God. Going on, sorcery, the whole idea behind sorcery or witchcraft is the idea of controlling or manipulating somebody else. That's why when you pray for somebody else's will to change according to something they don't want, that's sorcery. That's the same as sorcery. You can't do that. You could say, Lord, help them. Now, if you know that it's not right, if you know that it's, the wrong thinking, you can pray against that. But there are people that say, I want to pray for so-and-so to like me. That's sorcery. That's what that is, and that's not good. Amen. It's not good. That's what the Bible says. These are the acts of the flesh that ultimately lead to hell. I mean, this is the truth. Okay? Contentions. This is one that people don't think of. God put this up there with sorcery. He puts it up there with adultery. Contentions. Fighting amongst one another. Get over it. Why? Because it's a work of the flesh. It leads to hell. And if it doesn't take you to hell, it can bring hell into your life. There's no reason to have contentions. Get over it. There is nothing worse. Why? Because contentions lead to idolizing. Yes. You don't think that somebody you're in contentions with all the time, you're not idolizing them? Yes, you are, because you've exalted them onto some kind of pedestal. Even if it's a negative pedestal, they're still up there in your mind. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I didn't plan to go. We were recently in these, weren't we? But we, praise God. But this is last Sunday, yeah. Praise the Lord. Jealousies. Whew, don't have to touch that. We all know what being jealous is. This is what it does. It destroys. These are the works of the flesh. It causes destruction in their lives. Amen? Praise God. Outbursts of wrath. Man, hallelujah. That's something, I'll just be honest with you, that's something I've had to deal with in life. Yeah, there was times where I would lash out over anything and anything. Everything, I mean. Yeah, but you gotta, when you read this, man, selfish ambitions. Trying to get somewhere just for yourself. All those Christians that love the prosperity message just because they think it'll make them rich. That's selfish ambitions. People who come to church and serve just so they can get into a better position in the church. So they can grow into maybe I'll get to be pastor. So I'm gonna go make it happen. I'm gonna be real awesome. You can be ambitious, but that doesn't mean it's godly. Yeah, amen. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. I see Christians arguing about this all the time. The line of drunkenness. The Bible says drunkenness. This is the works of the flesh. They can't inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says here. And people like want to argue, well, at what point, if you just have one, you're not drunk. Listen, if it can take me to hell, if it can keep me from inheriting the kingdom of God, I ain't touching it. I ain't going to come up with reasons why, or well, Jesus this or Jesus that. The Bible tells us very clearly what happens with this stuff. I'm not touching it. Listen, I don't care if you know, one person a beer might get them drunk, one person a beer might not get them drunk. I ain't touching it. Why? Because if it's things, it's not good. Amen? Show me the good things that come out of it. That's why we preach against it. We don't preach against it because we hate people, we want, but we understand what it does. It will hinder prayers. It will keep you from going and advancing into the plan of God because of people that want to, you know, revelries. Really, the best explanation I found of revelries is if you've ever watched anything with like Mardi Gras, different kinds of festivals like that. You know, I always think about this. There's a certain, when I grew up in Jamestown, a lot of different cultures, you know, a lot of different kinds of churches. But there's certain churches in Jamestown, in the Jamestown area. I'm sure they're elsewhere too, they do it. But in Jamestown, certain mainline Christian denominations that have these drunken festivals. Those are revelries. That's what they are. And they are sponsored by the stinking churches. The church is bringing hell into the church. They're doing them on the church's properties. Everybody looks forward to it. You know how many people have gone to hell as a result of that? And do you know that every one of those leaders is going to have to answer for every one of those people that went to hell? Why? Because there's people that think, well, this is okay. Well, if I can get away with doing this, why can't I do this? And so they justify everything because of what their leadership let them get away with. Yeah, so if you see that, if you see those things, now be festive and have, you know, a good time and stuff like that. But when you're dealing with this kind of stuff, you know, obviously, I mean, we know the line, though. Praise the Lord. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So it didn't just limit it to those things, did it? It said, and the like, things like this, amen? You know, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not, I have underlined, will not inherit. Why do I underline it? Just to remind me in case I ever forget. Praise the Lord, and I'm reading down through here. Will not is a very, very strong phrase. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's people that have left our churches because we've preached stuff like this. I'm sorry. You want what you want, then I don't want you here. I'm just going to tell you the truth. If somebody just wants the world, if they just want that, they want the death, they want to bring that in, I thank God that they don't want to be here. Why? Because they'll bring that into here. They'll try to get other people to get in line with it and to fall in line with what they're doing. I mean, it's just like, listen, the Bible sets us free. This is one of the things it sets us free from. But the fruit of the Spirit, of course, we know that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So, well, praise God, hallelujah. I don't even know how we got off on all that stuff. But we're talking, well, I know, because we're talking about doing the Word. We're talking about moving in line with the Word. If we want to, man, hallelujah. I'm just looking at the clock here in case you didn't know what I was pointing at, because nobody else could see it but me. But praise the Lord, the time just flies by. But God wants us set free, and he wants us set free from these things. But these things will hold us in bondage. And so it's not just telling you, like, listen, if you've been caught in any of this, or any of this has been a thing, or even if I've been preaching this and it's been stepping on your toes, don't walk away sad. Walk away glad that you got the truth and you know how to help get out of it. Because if you've been believing God for certain things, but you're seeing it not come to pass and not coming to pass, not coming to pass, a lot of times you need to clean up. Sometimes you got to look in your own backyard and see, well, what do I got there that's hindering me? What do I got that's keeping me from the blessing of God? Because the blessing of God is free to all men who will receive it. Every man, woman, and child who will receive the blessing of God is open to them. But we, and I'm going to tell you something else. If you are believing for people to come into the kingdom of God, and this is the lifestyle that you profess, or this is a lifestyle you practice, you are being a hypocrite. You are the very reason that they probably will never come in. If we don't change, we're not going to see change. If we don't, I have seen countless times, and just as a pastor, I'm not going to go into specifics, but I have seen countless times where somebody who's in the church and gets the word every single week, and they've been believing for somebody else to come in. I really hope my dad comes in and gets saved. I really hope my brothers or my sisters or something. I really hope my spouse comes in and gets saved. And they go out into the world and they compromise. And every single time they do, I've watched people completely ruin somebody else's chance, because to them, they're just another Christian hypocrite. And that's the way the world looks at us. We can't be that. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to walk through life perfectly or anything like that, because there is a degree that people put, place on Christians, a level of, that's unreasonable. They say, well, if people are literally watching for Christians to stumble. But we can't give them ammo, is what I'm saying. We can't give them things that, you know, praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. Faith is based on what you, faith is a response based on what you believe to be true. And so if you believe, if you walk in these things, what you are doing is you are also altering your faith to be something that is not an effective faith. Listen, folks, if we want our prayers answered, our prayers, we know this according to Scripture, have got to come from a place of faith, of belief and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did in his word. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you reject part of his word, you cannot have faith, true faith, in any other part of his word. So by rejecting something in his word, because, this is hard for me to take this, and this doesn't match up. Well, you know what I do when I got something? You know, pastors have hard times too, right? There's things that I have hard times in my flesh too. You know, I'm not just preaching at you, that there's times and different times where I deal with desires from my past or things that come up. You know, there used to be certain things that called to me from my past all the time, trying to suck me back in. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'll be walking down the street. We were up in Montreal, walking down the street. And all of a sudden, I get a big whiff, because up there, they're allowed to smoke pot everywhere. And up there, I get a big whiff of pot, big whiff of marijuana. In my flesh, my flesh still likes that smell. My flesh still wants to go smoke that. But my spirit, which is stronger than my flesh, says, no way, because I know what's connected to it. You know what I'm saying? But you don't think that the flesh is drawn to? Of course it is. But how do you put that down? Now, it doesn't mean that I was fiending and I'm out looking for it. You know what I mean? God, hallelujah. Because I'm able to not do those things because I've allowed God to work that into me. Amen? But the flesh will still call out to different things. The flesh will still, and there'll be moments where you're weaker. There'll be moments maybe you've had a bad day or you've had a bad week, and then all of a sudden something is presented before you, and maybe you'll even stumble a little bit. That happens. That doesn't mean that you've fallen off and God's fallen off the throne and you're just worthless. But we do have to work at getting out of that. So we don't want to be in bondage on these things and just be like, man, I can't ever do anything right, because that'll keep us from getting into what God has for us. But we have to determine in our hearts that the word is truth. If we don't determine that this is true, instead of what a lot of people do, you know what the society is trying to do with the word in some ways is being effective in some churches, is they're saying, well, this isn't the way society goes anymore, so we need to start looking at the word differently because the word is old. And see, when people start doing that, they've just inhibited themselves from having the power working in their lives. Why? Because you can't reject the word, even a part of it. You know, what I'm talking about is knowingly rejecting the word. I mean, I say, you're not going to know everything. I don't know everything. There are things that I will learn 5 years from now that I'm going to learn 5 years that they probably weren't all that right, and so I need to change that. I've done that. I'll probably do it again. I'm not negating that. But what we can't do is when the word is presented to us and we see the word, we can't then decide, well, I'm going to reject that because this doesn't match up with my lifestyle. What we have to do is then say, Lord, I want to change. I don't want to change, or I don't want to change, but I want to change. And Lord, I know that your word says this, and I want my life to resemble your word. I don't want to try to conform your word to my life. See, that's the heart of somebody who can be used and blessed by God. That's the heart of somebody who there's no limitation. When Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes, that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about all things are possible just because you want it. All things are possible just because you want to believe it. All things are possible just because you heard something really exciting preached in church today and you want to grab hold of it. That doesn't mean it's possible. No, absolutely not. What's possible is to him who believes. You have to believe the word. But you can't reject God's word in one area and then say, I'm going to believe it in another area. Doesn't work that way. The truth is the truth. And so we are the people of truth. And so if you reject the truth, what you are doing is you are pushing away God's truth, even a little bit. All of God's truth is connected. It's all connected. Amen. And so it all brings us to that place of being perfected. It's connected. We get perfected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. glory to God. So we want to be people, glory to God, that move in the direction that God wants us to be, wants us to be blessed. Amen. Glory to God. I want you to turn to James 4:17. And as you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of a scripture, Psalm 37:3. We'll put Psalm 37:3. Yep, there it is up there on the board. James 4:17, but we're going to look at Psalm 37:3 up there. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." If you don't trust in the Lord, you're not going to do good. You can't do good without trusting in the Lord. People say, well, that person wasn't saved, but they were good. No, they weren't. Why? Because anybody who's not saved isn't good. You are not good on your own accord. There's nothing you can do to make you good. The best person that you knew on earth, the best person that was the nicest person on earth, they're still, in God's eyes, are not even comparable to good. Do you understand that? Amen? And it's not because God is so picky. It's because God's standard is so of what good is. We do not get in because of our goodness. We don't get access to God because of our goodness and of ourselves. We get access to God because he has given us the ability. Trust in the Lord and do good. Without trust in the Lord, you can't do good. You can't be good. You can't be in his good. You can't dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness without it. Amen? Well, praise God. James 4:17. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Sin does not, you remember what it said, and the like, in those scriptures I was reading? I love how this connects. God just connected this, and I wasn't even playing. I mean, I didn't play in those scriptures. I did play in this one. This was part of it. But you see how God connects it? It's amazing. The Spirit always knows, amen? To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And the like. There are many things that aren't spelled out in Scripture, but you'll know in your spirit it's wrong, and therefore it's wrong. But you can't always preach that. You can't always preach to someone. Listen, it might be wrong for you to eat rice noodles. God, the Spirit might deal with you. Thank God he hasn't dealt with me on that yet. I love rice noodles. But he might deal with you that it's wrong to eat rice noodles. Now, he has dealt with me that it's wrong to eat rice noodles all the time. So you know what I don't do? Eat rice noodles all the time. Although I could eat rice noodles probably every single day. I like them that much. You ever had a rice noodle? Praise the Lord. They're good. Those little rice cakes, have you ever had one of those? It's like a rice noodle cake. It's just a little cake of rice mush. But I love it, man. Praise God. Hallelujah for the Asian culture. Amen. But they're not all that good for you. You know, it's like eating donuts. I could eat donuts every day. But we know not to do that. Amen. And know that it's not good. In fact, I know not to do it barely at all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it could be sin. But I can't preach that. I can't preach that it's sin to eat a donut today. It might be a sin for me to do it. How do I know? Because I might go to eat that donut and the spirit on the inside of me says, uh-uh. Yeah, to him who knows to do good and does not do it. You see, and that's why it's important to learn to be led by the Spirit. Because when we're Spirit-led people, we'll be more effective at life. Now, God is not holding things against us. You know, listen, there's lots of areas we'll fail and miss it in. But God, and I'm just talking about in a natural process of living. But God is not looking for all those areas, but he is leading us to get out of that because he knows that even, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He knows that, and that's why God wants us to have more knowledge. So we have to be open to it. We have to be willing to flow with it. Amen? Amen.